Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? Christ arose. Wow. And that's why we're here, isn't it? Okay. How about we start today with 176 and let's stand. 176. Thank you for the beautiful day, the day to come here today to recognize the gift of your Son, Lord, who made sacrifice for us. Thank you, Lord, today. This is Resurrection Sunday. This is the day we've set aside to see, understand, and realize what our Savior did for us. Thank you, Lord, that today we that know Him know that He is risen. He conquered death. He conquered sin, Lord. He did it all for us. Thank you. Be with us today, Lord, as we just sit amongst each other to remember to shake a hand, Lord, give a hug, say a hi, maybe just a smile, Lord, but to build each other up today, Lord. Be with my pastor, Lord. He's already had a mission work this morning, Lord, and yet he's here for us today to preach. Guide him, Lord. Direct him. Give him all the power that he needs to deliver your message today. And Lord, I pray that it falls on ears that really need to hear it. And if someone needs you today, Lord, that person get right before they leave. Be with us today, Lord. Thank you so much for letting us be here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me see. What did I do with my bulletin? There it is. Let's see. We got congregational song yet? 371, please. 377. Thank you, Kay. Oh, yeah, there it is.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me, the long life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. To impart, you ask me how I know he lives. Lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask, I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Thank you. Let's see. Tonight, we have our eating service at 6 o'clock. The purpose of the Emmaus walk. Wow. Resurrection Day today. Thank you, heroes. Personal evangelism on April the 2nd. Wilton Bible Studies the 4th. Communion coming right up on the 7th. Church work day, oh boy. On the 13th at 8 o'clock in the morning. Lutheran Homes, their service is going to be the 14th at 2:30. Children's Church for ages 4 up to 12 today. Check with Denny on dates in April for the men's Bible study. April is fellowship month. Team is Kim and Sharon's going to be involved there. Doug's got just something he wants to say just real quickly.
Thank you, Brother Lonnie. Praise the Lord. Boy, it was noisy in here before we got started this morning. That's what we want, right? Praise the Lord. Well, I've just been wanting to do this for the last few weeks, but we'll get this taken care of. Security measures we want to put in place for the church in light of, you know, what's happening in our society today. We want to make sure everybody's comfortable and secure as we can make it with our limited resources here. So what we've been doing the last few weeks is this door over here, side exit. We've been locking at 10 o'clock during Sunday school, and we have two ushers that are responsible for security from now on. Going forward, one will look at the building and the doors downstairs. We'll have somebody go through there before Pastor gets going at the message. And then one will be out in the foyer at all times, making sure, keeping an eye on what's going on in the parking lot and outside on the grounds. If there's any threat at all, we'll lock those doors back there and have at least that as a first line of defense. So We're just getting started. We're going to find out what works best for us, and we want everybody to realize you won't be able to enter here after 10 o'clock in Sunday school in the mornings. So we're going to, next step will probably be putting a first aid kit back in the foyer so we have it available. Instead of one we have in the kitchen, we have to go all the way over there to access that if something occurs here, which did. Brother Burt can share that with you, what happened last spring or last summer, I believe. But Brother Jason, do you have anything you can think of you want to add? Okay. All right, I guess we'll go ahead with our offering then. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Just a couple things real quickly before the ushers come up, or you can come up anyway, I don't care. Let's see, Pat said he's going to have a membership class coming up in the next couple weeks.
If there's interest
in it. And I got to get his thought in for the week. Can you be counted as one who has not seen yet has believed? Guys, you come forward. We'll take up more and all. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you so much for the day. Thank you again, Lord, for the sacrifice of your Son. Thank you, Lord, today that we know he is alive. Lord, help us to live that way, that people will see that there's just something different in us. But as we go into our service here now, just actually be a pastor, guide and direct him. And Lord, I ask you to be at the gift and the giver now as we take up this offering. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. Autumn's going to come up now.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's always nerve-wracking to play for other people and a crowd of you all that aren't regularly here, so I'm a bit nervous. I always am when I present a special, but special music is something our church does for the Lord. It's supposed to be like an offering to God, a special thing of worship. So bear with me as I'm not an expert pianist, and surely there will be mistakes. But anything that goes well, you can praise the Lord for that, for he's the one that makes it possible. This song is called Glorious, and it is written about Jesus. You slept beneath the stars you named and numbered. Were tempted in a desert you designed. faithfully obeyed the law you authored. The king left his throne behind. You washed the feet of those who called you master and fed the multitudes with truth and bread. You've shared the feast with harlots and with sinners and loved those who sought your death. Without a word, you face the accusations, and joyfully you bore the bitter cross. The innocent received our condemnation and paid for the rebel's cause. Come together for the Lord. Glorious. Beneath the earth you fashioned, you were buried. The word of life was silenced by the grave. The doors of death could not contain your glory. God rolled the stone away. Glorious. Lord, you are glorious. Shepherd and King, forever you'll be glorious.
the guarantee that we as well will experience that just as Christ. When our days on this earth are over, and when the resurrection occurs, Jesus comes with the sound of the trump, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. And we who remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds, will we receive our new glorified bodies. And so what took place here in history was that Jesus came to be our Passover lamb. He came and was sacrificed as a Passover lamb for us. Yes. That word Passover goes back to Egypt, where when the death angel was to pass through the homes and so forth and take the firstborn, when the blood of a lamb was painted on the crossbeam and lintel of the door, lintel post of the door, the death angel passed over that. That's what's happened for us in Jesus' blood. He has passed over us, going for eternal death. So hallelujah, praise God. We should be thankful for that. And the first day of the week is the day he arose prophetically. And that's why we are here today. We serve a risen Savior. He is risen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it's a privilege to stand before you today. I want to welcome all of you here. There is no insignificant event or insignificant event in life. That's the thing I want to share with you this morning. So no one is here by mistake. And I trust today that you will have an experience here with the Lord as we look into his word, and that you'll at least consider the things that are said today and allow Jesus to apply these things to your heart. Now, I appreciated what our trustee said here about security today in the building, and those are necessary things in our day. But more important than anything we can do to secure this building, I want to challenge everyone in this room today. Do you know that your eternal destiny is secure?
Yes.
And that's why the Savior came and why he rose again. Because man is going to die, folks, unless we are the unique few that go when Jesus translates this church and his church in the rapture. We're going to face death. And what comes after that, the Bible says, are only two choices: either heaven in the presence of the Lord Jesus, or in a place of punishment that we commit ourselves to. And so I want you to know today, it's important to be eternally secure with Jesus Christ and to take advantage of what he has done on the cross and in the power of his resurrection to deliver us from death unto life. With that said today, folks, that's why we exist and why we are here. Yes, it is Resurrection Day, and it's the day we remember on the first day of the week, every week, but also every day as we rise. We are alive. We know when we rise up, we're still alive, right? And hopefully we're saying hallelujah, praise God. I know as we age, we say a little bit more of ow first. But Jesus came to do away with the ows too, because we're going to receive a new body one day. And I just am excited about that. I trust you are as well, and that we'll have a good meeting with the Lord today. The title of our message this morning is "The Real Proof of Jesus' Resurrection is Found in the Heart." Is found in the heart. We'll be looking in the book of John today, the fourth gospel, chapters 20 and 21, at just a few quick points this morning. And I trust again that you'll have a great day today as you celebrate with family, friends, and loved ones the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to take just a few moments here to have silent prayer. This is an opportunity once again to direct our hearts toward the worship of the Savior today, to the worship of God the Father, because of what he did in the love gift of Jesus, his Son. And then I'll follow with a short pastoral prayer, and we'll dig into the Word together this morning and rejoice in the day that the Lord has given us. Let us pray together. Lord God, as we take these few moments to quiet our hearts before your throne, we come to you today, Lord, on this day in the year 2024. It's your year, Lord. All things are your history and your time. And we thank you once again that there is a commemoration in a special way after the act of Passover, as I just illustrated, that your Son Jesus was sent as the Passover lamb. I thank you, Father God, and I worship you today. I worship you and give thanks for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for your third personality, the Holy Spirit, Lord, who indwells and comes alongside the believer and empowers the believer, Lord. We thank you today for the power of the cross and the power of the empty tomb, that your Son came to pay the penalty for our sins in our place, our substitutionary lamb, your substitutionary lamb. Lord, I pray it'll be personal with us this day. And I thank you that we can have within us the resurrection power, Lord, of new life that's guaranteed when Jesus' tomb was found empty and he appeared with a new glorified body to all the witnesses that were around him in those days. We thank you today that that witness is found in our hearts, Lord, when we have trusted Jesus and we know that he is alive in us. And we pray today, Lord, that once again our worshipful thoughts of praise directed at you for your worthiness, Lord, would be felt before your throne. Now today, Lord, I thank you for all that have come out to this morning to look into your word, to celebrate today, to again bask in the joy of new life. And I'd ask today, Lord, once again, that you'd speak to the hearts of all those that are here today as we look into your word, Lord, that we would understand what a wonderful and loving God you are, a God who is gracious towards us and has our very best interests at heart. Lord, we lift up of our own number those that may not be here today. We think again, Lord, of people that are struggling with illness and infirmity. Lord, some that may be discouraged or hurting today, grieving, all types of things that affect the human condition and experience. I pray, Lord, that you would deliver and answer those folks that are struggling at this time. And then, Lord, we pray for the community around us. We ask again, Lord, that you'd use us as an effective witness of your light, that we would be reflectors of your light to this community of Fruitland and Muscatine and the outlying areas, Lord, that you'd use our church and that you would increase our enthusiasm and our zeal to, again, direct that love towards those that we encounter on the outside. We ask again, Lord, your presence with us and, Lord, for a dynamic impact today as we look into your word. And I ask you in advance for these things, Lord, and then for the one here who is me that has shaky knees and sweaty palms, Lord, to deliver this message again today, I ask that the power of the Spirit would reside upon me and you'd anoint my lips, Lord, to bring forth this message for your honor and glory. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, a most blessed resurrection day to all of you. Amen. Hallelujah. In fact, I'd like to sing, "I Serve a Risen Savior," one more time. Maybe we need to do that. I'd like to go into that chorus, not with "He lives, He lives," but "He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today." I hope He lives in your heart today and in your life. Hallelujah. This is not a day to be glum and glummer. It's a day to rejoice, give thanks, and give God great praise and glory. Again, he is a wonderful God, folks, and never forget that. God is not a tyrant. He's a lover of people, and he wants you to know that today. He cares about you, and he wants to know what your struggles are today because he wants to bear your burdens and to help you, again, to have a life that is worth the living in Jesus Christ. So happy Resurrection Day. Jesus' resurrection is the completing component of the greatest event of all history. History is his story. I mentioned earlier that there is no, that you know, everything has a purpose. You're not here by accident today. And I believe this in my study of the Word through the years and the way God has changed my life and grown me, and I'm sure that many of you would experience this as well, that all this fits together, folks. It does, and it shows the handiwork of God in people's lives. So everything he does has reasons. And wherever you're at today, God is interested, and he wants to see you grow into a more personal and warm relationship with him. That's his desire. And like I said, we got to put aside the things of this world. We got to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one that it's all about, folks. All history revolves around the cross and the events of the cross that we just have experienced here in what we call Holy Week. It's the greatest event in history when God became a man in sinless perfection to buy back fellowship with God the Father. through his sacrificial death and shedding of blood on the cross of Calvary. Now, here's the deal about that, folks, why this was really dynamic. We all know this morning, and if you don't know it, pinch yourself. We are humans. But Jesus is God. But he also was a human, yet without sin. Folks, there's a big fancy expression that is talked about that we use to describe that. It's called the hypostatic union. Jesus is unique to all time when he was God, but fully man. And he is the only thing, and that's how the Bible describes it when he was born, this holy thing, because he is the God-man, he was the only leadership prototype in his human form that could pay as a sinless perfect one for the sins of the rest of humanity. He is and was God, but he was fully human. Hallelujah, praise God. There is nothing like that that's ever been or ever will be in history. Jesus is the real deal. Jesus is the real deal, folks. The operation was completed after he went to that cross of Calvary and shed his blood and died bearing the sins of the world. It was completed when he rose from the dead on the third day. It was completed. Hallelujah! Yeah, you know, he could have gone there and paid the price for our sins. And he could have shed his blood to cover our sins. But if that was the end of it, that's the end. But it is not the end. It's the end of the beginning. Because we have new life in Christ today if Jesus Christ reigns within your heart. Amen. And let me just say this most assuredly. We have better things to look forward to in the future. I don't know who the oldest person in here is today. I think they're in their 90s. But let me tell you, that's just getting started when it comes to all eternity with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine, friends, what this is going to be like down the road? And time will be erased at some point in time. We'll not even know, but when we've been together forever, and we're still going to love each other with Jesus, that's the program Jesus offered in his resurrection. It wasn't just the forgiveness of sins, it was the freedom in the Savior of new life and a new body. Now, I alluded just a moment ago to how some of us have aches and pains, and sometimes we wake up and say, ow, or worse. But folks, there's better coming. Endure for now. Jesus will help you endure, but there are great things coming for the Christian. Today, folks, if you are not born again in Jesus Christ, realize he wants that for you. And we have a very, very great future in front of us because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, amen. It was completed as prophesied on the third day by the granting of new life. And therefore, as I mentioned, it conquered eternal death for those who believe by faith on him. Friends, that's all it is. Jesus doesn't want you to buy anything. He's not outselling anything. Jesus today is here to give you eternal life. Amen. And the cost of that for you and I is free. But understand this, what Jesus did for us came with the ultimate cost ever when God, in the form of his Son, Jesus, had to die for the sins of the world, the sinless one for the sinner. That's what we have. That's what's of value, friends. That's why we should stand up and take notice. My friends, it's the greatest gift that was ever given. And it is a gift. It can only be received. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can only receive it. And God has offered that to you and I today through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, if we will but trust on him. Acts 16:31, Romans 10, 9 and 10 say essentially the same thing. It's very simple. There's no religion that can save you. We are not a religion here at Fruitland Baptist Church. We are a living faith. Acts 16:31 essentially says this. This is how simple it is to come into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you or thou shalt be saved. That's all it is right there. It's more than just believing Jesus existed. It's believing he came to save you. It's believing he was the God-man, that this whole thing fits together. And by the way, folks, it's the only thing that fits together. You can explore other ways. They don't fit. But the biblical way and the way that God works, God doesn't work like we do. He works in ways that are far above us and in mysterious ways. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God who loves you today through Jesus Christ. Well, so here's the question that you may have this morning. What produces that faith? What produces faith? How are you able to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And my answer to that is proof. Proof. Now, if you're here this morning apart from Jesus Christ, you're going to say, I'm from Missouri. Show me. And there are a few here that, Judy, why are you have your hand there? Are you coughing? Need water? Prove it. Because we have a saying, the proof is in the pudding. Okay? Otherwise, it's what? It's susceptible to being what? Questioned. We don't know. But my friends, proof. But the fact of the matter is today, none of us have physically seen Jesus and his wounds. Agreed? So how can we believe? Well, we'll look at that this morning. We'll examine that. But to give you a direct answer of the conclusive proof is found when we become when he becomes alive in our hearts. The conclusive proof of Jesus is when he becomes alive and living in our hearts. So the first point this morning that I want to go to of three short points is just a simple fact, because many might be saying, show me, prove it to me. Well, let me first give you the first point, because you start with the first before you go to the second. But the first point is this: some solid historical documented evidence. By the way, Jesus went to the cross, and yet he was an innocent man. He was the innocent God. There wasn't enough evidence to convict Jesus of anything except being the Son of God. And they missed all that. They had to do a contrived, tripped up, falsified thing to put him on the cross. By the way, people didn't put Jesus on the cross. God put Jesus on the cross for people. You hear that? Jesus didn't have to go there. He went because he loved us. Because God the Father loved us, you see. That's the thing we always want to keep straight about this. But folks, let's cut to the chase here this morning. Secular evidence even says there was a man named Jesus that went to a cross, died on the cross, was buried, and the third day he rose. And he was witnessed by people that saw him alive in a new body. Do you agree with that this morning, folks? If you don't want to believe biblical evidence, what about secular evidence? By the way, I'll give you some facts this morning that come from the scriptures. If this was a hoax, it would have been exposed. If this was a hoax, someone would have had Jesus' body and his bones yet to this day and said, see, he's not risen. These are Jesus's. By the way, what would be Jesus' DNA? Now we're into that era, see, by 20 years or so. It's not been produced, has it? Show me the proof. He's not here. He's alive, folks. But when you think about this, secular history records that Jesus existed and that he died on a cross and rose from the dead. You can study that. It exists. By the way, then, of course, we go to biblical evidence. All right? And I'd like you to turn in your scriptures today to 1 Corinthians 15. I want to look at verses 1 through 11 briefly here for our first point. By the way, 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection passage that Paul taught to the church at Corinth. Okay? This is a potent chapter that argues for the resurrection. By the way, Paul was not an attorney, but he was a Hebrew scholar. And Paul knew how to prove a case. And let me just tell you something. When you read 1 Corinthians 15, you will have the case proven. Jesus is either who he is or he's not. And biblical Christianity and the power of the resurrection is either the absolute truth or it's the biggest hoax that's ever been pulled over on mankind. You choose today. You discern what it is. But I'm going to give you some of the evidence here this morning. But here now from the hand of the Apostle Paul, who, by the way, on the road to Damascus was a witness to the risen Lord, if we are to believe the account that he wrote in Scripture. So here's what Paul says in the first 11 verses. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news." By the way, what else do you have today that's good news at last? If you didn't I hear that the lottery is up to what, $1 billion somewhere? Maybe someone won that here in the last day or two. I haven't heard. I haven't been listening to the news. But you know what? Yeah, that could be temporary good news, but you know what happens to most people that win the lottery? They have all kinds of people come out of the woodwork. The government is there, first of all, to collect their share. And about 5 or 10 years or less down the road, they end up with what? And their joy is gone. Jesus' joy will never leave you. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You think about that this morning. Gospel means good news. The good news of Christ endures. Everything else is temporary. You get a new car. After you drive it over the curb, it's an old car. It's a used car. Have you ever thought about that? I take comfort in that all the time because you know I like to drive old junkers. Same thing. It's just that you lost a big bunch of depreciation the day you drove it over the curb. He says, "I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand," Paul says to the church at Corinth. By the way, the church at Corinth was just like us. It was radical, rebellious. It was a bunch, let's just say this, they were losers. But they were winners in Jesus Christ. That's how I classify my... Rhino, you can agree with that with me, can't you? A loser, but a winner in Jesus Christ. Okay. "By which also," Paul says, "you are saved." That word saved means rescued, delivered. Yeah. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed for the wrong reasons, in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." There had to be a reason for the resurrection, folks. And the reason for the resurrection are the sins of mankind. We could not fix our sins. There is nothing we could do to fix them. It had to be fixed by a superior sacrifice, and that was Jesus. And God loves sinners, folks. And I'm thankful for that today because I'm one of the chiefest ones too, just like Paul. And I can't tell you what's going on in your life, but I can tell you we're all a bunch of people that are lost until we've been found by the good shepherd who is Jesus. "I've delivered you that," he says, "that Christ did what? He died for our sins according to the Scriptures." And then verse 4, "that he was buried." Now, I have heard of a few cases where people were thought to be dead. They were buried and found that they were alive or got close to that. But folks, I want to tell you something. Jesus was dead. He died the death of the curse of sin that was placed upon his body. By the way, he wasn't killed. He gave his life. He yielded his life on the cross. See, no one took it from him. He gave it for you and I. He was buried, and you can look in the archives. I've preached where Jesus went while he was in the grave. you can find that. He was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That was not a random event that Jesus picked or that just happened to be that day. What governed what happened with Jesus was written prophetically decades and generations and over 1,000 of years before it took place. That's the prophecy, again, of Almighty God in all this. This was not a random thing. It was a divine planned thing, as I said today. We're not here by mistake. By the way, today, if you're here with Jesus or without him, you will leave here one way or another again. But understand this. This is a day to understand what he may have for you to hear. He rose, according to the Scriptures, the third day. So this was not a random accidental act. Now listen to this in verse 5. "And that he was seen of Cephas." By the way, Cephas is Peter. "And of the 12." Okay, the disciples saw him. Now hear what John says next. "After that he was seen above 500 brethren." Now folks, I know enough about lies. and you do too. You can try to pull over a conspiracy, but when you have just the figures mentioned here, we have 512 so far, right? No, yeah, 12. 512 that witnessed this, just to begin with here, you know that people cannot lie very long because people are blabbermouths. You could not hold a conspiracy theory together with this amount of people, and someone's going to talk and say what? This didn't happen. Never recorded in Scripture. Okay? There were some lies at the tomb. You probably have heard that before, but not recorded. You have this many witnesses, and Paul says here, some of them have already died, but some of them are still alive. So what Paul told Corinth is, go what? Go ask the people that saw him. Now, if you were to interview 500 people or around that, and probably none of us could do that in a considerable amount of time, but if you found credible witnesses, you would tend to what? After you did about 400, you'd say, I think this is true. I don't have time to do another 100 here today. You get what I'm saying? Paul says in that day, go check it out. Go check it out. And after that, he was seen of James, and then all of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Paul says, I met him on the road to Damascus. He's a living Savior. He knocked the daylights out of me and blinded me with his glory. And he got my attention. And I know he's the Lord, and he's alive. Verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles that am not even fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You see, when we receive the Lord, it's by grace through faith. And his grace is the confirming factor of his living activity because he's good to us. God is good by his very nature. Jesus is good by his very nature. Paul writes, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you, he's talking to the Corinthians, you have believed. It's solid evidence, my friends, that we find as we see here in our text for today, and there's more of it. Read in the book of Acts. You can all see all the way through. Jesus was prophetically announced, and he did exactly what he said he would do. There's solid biblical evidence, and there's solid secular evidence. And understand this, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What you've heard here today from the word of God, it will not only establish your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his credibility and the credibility of his resurrection, but it will confirm it over and over and over. Amen. The word of God will testify to it over and over because the word of God is alive. Yes. And guess who wrote it? Jesus. He superintended over the authorship of this book. He superintended over the creation. The evidence is overwhelming that Jesus is real. He is the real deal. He is the living Lord. Now, second point, because our time's always running out. The testimonial evidence that is presented for Jesus. Testimonial evidence presented. Like the example that we saw this morning with the disciples here that Jesus spoke about. John chapter 20, so we got to back up a little bit in Scripture. And this is the basis of our message this morning. John chapter 20. And we're going to look at verses 19 through 25. As he met with the disciples, it's recorded in Scripture that Jesus showed himself three times to his disciples after his resurrection. We're going to look at the first account here this morning. And this will bring us into what we're talking about today, about our perfect confirmation of Christ being alive. It's found in the heart. This morning I direct us to verses 19 through 25 of John chapter 20. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. By the way, that's why we gather on the first day of the week to celebrate the resurrection. Just in case you wondered about that, that's Sunday in our calendar. But that same day that he arose, he came on the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. That's the disciples, not Jesus. came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. By the way, Jesus always offers his peace to people. Do you have his peace today? Praise God if you have it today. But you can have it today by calling on his name, by believing. Jesus will give you peace. He'll give you peace in the turmoil and the mess that we live in this world today, folks. And let me assure you, it's a mess. It's always been a mess, but it's a mess. Anyway, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Show me the proof. Now, Jesus, as God, knew the hearts of even his disciples. And let me just assure us on the basis of Scripture as well, some of the disciples weren't sure about what was going on here either. But Jesus walks in and says, peace be unto you. Check this out. My side that's been rent. My wrists that have been nailed with 8 to 9 inch spikes. My ankles that have been nailed to the cross. He says, I'm showing you this. See it there in verse 20? He showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you. That's the Great Commission. And when he had said thus, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You see, Jesus was going to be leaving in his physical presence from this earth 40 days later. But what he did is he said, you are going to receive my personality of the Holy Spirit. And that is going to be what is going to guide you and empower you in all things to come. God will never leave his people. Amen. Today, the Christian is indwelt by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, at the moment we are saved. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. The Holy Spirit teaches us, empowers us, seals us. I could go on ad infinitum, the power of the Holy Spirit, folks. Jesus conveyed that upon the disciples, and today it is a free gift of God, the moment we trust him by grace through faith. Anyway, but, why am I always getting these things in the Bible, but? Who was the guy that said but? Thomas. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them. Don't get too hard on Thomas. I don't know what was going on, but he wasn't there. By the way, never miss a meeting with Jesus. You can miss a board meeting. You can miss all kinds of meeting, but never miss a meeting with Jesus. By the way, that's why gathering with Jesus as the church, not just in the building, but with one another, it's important. This isn't just an exercise in polishing the pews, even though we have cushions here. And let me tell you, the best cushions in this church building are toward the front. But people seem to prefer the ones in the back. I know it's spitting range. That's why I don't eat before I speak. This is fact. Proof. Sometimes it comes out as foam. And it wouldn't be the first time I've been accused of foaming at the mouth. Right, Don Carroll? But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have what? Seen the Lord. Show me the... We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I... Isn't that the plight of people today? Well, I've never seen it. How do I know it's true? And therefore, I will not believe. Well, I said three visits. Here's the second visit. Verse 26, and after 8 days again. By the way, I better look at my notes here. Let me just say this. Jesus produced evidence with his message of peace and the mission that he gave. And of course, Thomas was gone. But now let's see what takes place in 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within. And Thomas, he decided to show up. There was a reason he showed up that day. Like there's a reason we're here today, for some reason. Can you dig it? Pamela, it'll be okay. You're understanding here. You're working with someone from the hipster era. And Thomas was with them. Then Jesus, though the doors were shut, it says here, right? The doors being shut, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said again, I offer you my peace. Peace be unto you. How did Jesus get in that room? I'm a big fan of doors. Now, we heard from the security people that we're restricting the doors. I understand that, but the truth is what? Jesus is the door. And whoever put up that new drywall back there, it's not going to stop Jesus. By the way, you know, when the tomb was opened and the ladies looked in, it said in the King James, it says the linen cloths lie. Those linen cloths, the napkin was folded, but here's the deal with that. Jesus resurrected. Those cloths still lay in the form of his body. Check your different Bible versions. The King James will tell you lie. The rest of them say lying. But I believe this, Jesus' resurrection is miraculous. It has no human explanation. It's divine. Jesus, in his power, was out of those clothes. And then he stood up and folded his napkin. And you know the whole thing, he'll be back. That was the Jewish custom, you know, with the meals. But he was alive, and this is miraculous. Because Jesus here somehow came through a wall into a room without using a door. And I don't think it was the window. That's Jesus in his new body, by the way, what we have to look forward to. Then said he to Thomas, I'm showing you the proof, buddy. Reach your finger, behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And Jesus says to old Thomas, quit being faithless. Believe. You've got the proof. I showed you. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Thomas was saved right there, folks. But he saw, he had to have it proven to him. And there's people maybe even in this room today that say, I will not believe because I haven't seen the proof. Well, listen to what Jesus says there. He says, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But more blessed, he says, are they that have. And yet, do you get that, folks? We're more blessed today when we've seen Jesus without seeing him. You get what I'm saying? Because the proof is there for Jesus. Well, that's the second time around. Jesus comes 8 days later through divine entrance in the new glorified body. He offers peace and presence to Thomas and proof and proof. And verse 29 is a classic. Now we're coming down here. I know we're running a little late. Will you forgive me? But look at John 30 through 31 here. And here is more scriptural evidence, again, that backs up, again, what Jesus is and who he was and what he did. Verse 30 says, from the Apostle John, and what? Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. Why were they not written? Because you could have 10 million more things and people are going, I don't believe that, I didn't see it. But John says what? They happened. They don't have to be written in the book because you wouldn't believe it anyway unless you saw him. But these are written, John says, the things we just looked at, that you might. The evidence is there that Jesus is the Christ. Christ means God's anointed Messiah, the Son of. Excuse me here. The Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. By the way, the scriptures also give a lot more evidence about Jesus. As I mentioned, prophecy. He's in there the whole way. This book's about him. And this book is about us and him. It's God's love letter. God's instruction manual for the Christian, for people. And the bottom line is just what we're talking about today. Believe on Jesus and be delivered. That's the message of the Bible. God loves you. So both times he presented his wounds in his now glorified body. The hard evidence will be there for us in heaven that will confirm our faith, having not seen but believed. You get what I'm saying? This was Jesus' new glorified body. They still saw his wounds. We're going to see those in heaven. When we get to heaven, you're going to know you were right or wrong, but I believe this on the basis of Scripture and that Jesus is reliable. You're going to see Jesus there with the prints in his hands and his side being thrust open. And he's going to say, "I told you so." He won't have to tell us that. I know it's so. So do you if you've trusted Jesus. He can't lie. He's God, folks. It's airtight. Third point. The third time, Jesus produced no physical evidence, but they knew it was him from the time, from him being there in their hearts. Excuse me, I misread my quote there. John chapter 21. I got to cut to the chase here on this. Whoops, I made a page turn I shouldn't have made. What's going on here? The third time Jesus appears to the disciples, he appears on the shore. The disciples have kind of given up, I'll say this. They've lost their zeal after Jesus was no longer there with them. They were still struggling with what was going on here. They knew, but they hadn't gotten regrouped yet. But what happened here is that Jesus came the third time. The same. This is verse 9, John 21, 1 through 14. And I did turn a page too soon. John 21, 1 through 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on the wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, "I'm heading fishing." Peter had given up, basically. He says, well, it's all over with Jesus. They went forth, they entered into a ship immediately, and that night they didn't catch a thing, it says. Fishing at night. By the way, who's the light of the world? Jesus. You don't get anything accomplished in the dark. It's proven. It's so much more efficient to work in the light, in the day. But let's see what happens here. They didn't catch a thing. By the way, go back in your memory the first time Jesus encounters these guys. What are they doing? Fishing. They're fishing. And what's happening? They're not catching anything. And remember what Jesus said, put your nets back in. I'm paraphrasing here. They pulled up the nets broke. And then Jesus says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. But when the morning was now come, verse 4, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. He had a different body. He wasn't recognizable in this particular instance. And then Jesus said unto them, "Children, do you have any food or any meat?" And they answered him, "Well, no, we didn't come up with any fish." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. What's Jesus saying here to them? Do you guys have a memory? Does any of this ring a bell? Duh! Therefore that disciple, verse 7, that whom Jesus loved, saith unto, by that way, that was the apostle John. He thought he had a more special place with Jesus. He didn't, but he felt that way. That's okay, you can feel that way. He said to Peter, "It is the Lord." How did he know that? He didn't recognize him. He knew because the Lord was in his heart. Matthew 16 is where Peter said, "You are the Christ. I believe that's you. You're God's anointed." Peter was saved there. And Jesus said, "And upon," he pointing to himself or the massive rock there, "on this rock I will build my church, but you're the little stone." That's Peter's name. Petros, a little rock. We're Petroses. We're little rocks as believers in Christ's great wall, which is the church. Peter says, "It's the Lord." How did he know it? Because he knew about the parallel that was in his heart about Jesus saying, "I'll make you fishers of men." And when Jesus told him, they didn't know who, but when they figured that out, put your net in the water again. Oh, Pete, the light came on. It's Jesus. Maybe there's some people here today that have forgotten about Jesus, but the light's got to come back on, man. He's the light of the world. Anyway, notice Peter here, how he also knew it was the Lord. He's swimming around naked. Did he come up before the Lord in that condition? Nope. Says here he grabbed a coat, cast himself back in the water and got a coat. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. What did Jesus call them back to the ground, therefore, the land, the shore? He says, boys, the party's not over. Our fellowship's going to continue. See what we're saying here? Let's go have fish, but let's see how this concludes. Bring of the fish which you have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. Some of you have heard this before. This was a significant thing that Jesus was teaching them. In the days of this world, there has been give or take by a few all the time in this world, 153 nations that make up the nations of the world. Give or take. Pretty close. What was Jesus saying here? Boys, you're going to become fishers of men, just like I told you. And this is the prophetic sign of that. And these guys knew that it was who. They didn't have to see the evidence. They knew in their heart it was Jesus. Do you have that evidence today, folks? Every time Jesus speaks to us today, it gives us evidence. Every time the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word, we either know that we have Him or we know that we don't. If you're still looking for proof, it's there. But if you have received Christ as your Savior, you know it's there. Because He shows us. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine, let's have fellowship. And none of the disciples dared ask Him, who art thou? Why? Because it says right there, they knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples after that He was risen from the dead. Has Jesus shown Himself to you? Do you have in your heart today the knowledge that He's the real deal? If you don't, why not believe? I'm no great orator, you know that. I'm just a dumb farmer that God called up here to make a fool of Himself. That's what Paul said, preaching is foolishness to the people that perish. But if you've heard these words today, you know this is what, you know, if you know Jesus, this is the real deal. It's been confirmed again. The proof is in the heart, folks, when we know who Jesus is. Here's the conclusion. When we have received Him, we no longer doubt or need hard evidence to prove Him. Right? He lives within my heart. Friend, why gamble with the doubters? Oh, there's a lot of doubters out there. But I say this, try it and see. Truly believe on Jesus. He'll never let you go. He'll confirm to you over and over, He's there. And He's in control if you let Him. Why gamble with the doubters? Believe and you will see and possess the evidence. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen Me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Who will be blessed today by receiving Jesus by faith alone? That's where it's all at. It's that plain. Believe. Place your faith in what Jesus did for you on Calvary's cross, and His evidence will rest in your heart. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. 816. 816. Basically, this is where it all comes down to, folks. Jesus wants to have his way in our lives. Are you going to let him? Or what will it be today that resists, causes you to resist him? But it's very simple. Lord, and many of us are probably tired here today. We're not tired for lack of sleep necessarily. Some of us may be, but we're tired of what's going on. We're tired of this mess on this earth that gets worse. Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus is the answer. He can give you peace. He offers that peace to you and I today. We don't have to muddle through this garbage anymore. We'll have to work through it, but we can have the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ in his presence with us. And today, if you have it, you ought to have joy in your heart. But if you don't, seek him because he may be found. Examine the proof. He loves you very much today and wants to be in a personal walk and fellowship with you. He wants to have a fish dinner with you today. It's that simple. Have thine own way. Will you yield to him today? If you have a question about the Lord, I can't answer everything, but I can show you from Scripture. And I want you to know that today is the day of salvation. We don't know what will befall any of us in even the minutes after we leave this building. But today, Jesus is waiting. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make thee after thy will. While I am yielding, yielded and still. We're going to sing the last stanza of this song. But today, reach out to Jesus. He's there. And believe on his name, and you will be delivered. You'll be saved. You'll be born again into the family of God in new life that, again, is guaranteed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see. Here's the evidence. Christ only always living in me. Have a great day on this Resurrection Sunday of 2024. I'm going to ask Lonnie Hansford to close us in prayer today. I'll greet you at the door. Save, Lord.